What about some of the players you played with? Any Mike Burton anecdotes?
Too many secrets here we give away.
That's why we're here.
Well, what goes on tour? No, we didn't get on tour. I think the only tour I went on, we went down to Cornwall actually for a play a couple of games. Oh yeah, loads. I mean, boys will be boys, won't they? I played a game in Coventry. I'll be careful how I say this. We played away at Coventry. Now you'll have a note of that. I don't know when that is. I played in the first team at Coventry. We beat Coventry, and we beat them comfortably. It wasn't a difficult game, and I think some of the lads were not too overstretched, shall we say. So in the bar after we'd had a couple of pints, not drunk, two of them decided they would just have a fight because two of our players. Because they just had a lot of energy left. Maybe choose not to name names on that. I don't want to ruin marriages or anything else. But they really got stuck into one another. And the damage to the tables was all paid for as well before we left. So my jaw dropped at that one. I couldn't believe that, you know. They just weren't tired enough. And that was it. So they didn't pick on their side. I think their side had all gone home. They'd been well whipped. But these two very large lads, shall we say, they certainly weren't backs, were getting stuck into one another for probably 10 or 15 minutes. Then they cleaned themselves up, got a few bandages, and were all good pals on the way back. So those sort of things, off-field things, stick in the mind. And controlled aggression, you might call it, I suppose, which is what wins you games now. Well, and then as well. So. There were a few more, but I probably wouldn't go down there, really. Usually by forwards.
What about Richard Mogg, who's playing at the same time?
Yes, Richard is a very talented player, quick, elusively quick, very smooth running style. I think he should have been promoted further. Very unassuming man, Richard. A very pleasant character. And I think he should have played at a higher level. I think maybe, you know, perhaps should have just promoted himself more sometimes. But he's a very nice lad, age, and a bit younger than some when he joined. But he was very talented. Probably didn't get enough passes, which we all complained about in the backs, didn't they? Nobody gives us the ball.
Well, it was Gloucester. You don't
Yeah, it
expect
was. Pick up a few scraps occasionally, you know, but. Yeah, it was. That was the way you just got chucked a bit, a few bits when there was some
You've
spare.
Mentioned Vicky Booth. Who else did you particularly enjoy playing alongside?
Don Watkins, their ghost on your shoulder, everywhere. Somebody a wing forward who knew where the ball was going to be, where the action was, and being able, just being able to play, run, and have. Players who can do that on your shoulder is incredibly reassuring for a back. You know, one thing you don't want to be is isolated then and now. It's a problem in both eras of rugby. And players who can do that, you know where to run and how to run and keep running. I mean, John was just a machine for running. You know, he could run non-stop the whole time at a quick pace as well. And that's so important. You have to be a massive person to do that. You just have to be intelligent, rugby intelligent. And be able to read a game, which is what he could do. So I remember that very well. A lot of other very good players, Phil Blakeway, you know, who played in the United a fair bit as he was moving up through the ranks. Very strong man, very aggressive, and I think moved from aggressive to aggressive international and lion. And there was a transition period of a few years, which he made that move, and what a difference as well, when he was able to tap it and control it. Marvelous player, strong player, but maybe I mean in today's era of props, maybe not the sort of the same sort of prop you want now, which has to tackle, pass, do everything else as well as scrummage. But in those days, your scrum was your scrum, and. Props, that was what they had to do. But
He stands out in my memory as technique as well.
Yeah, just a strong man, and
and supremely fit even to this day.
Yeah,
he's in the always gym all the time now.
I'll give you a little anecdote. He always fancied himself as a bit of a sprinter. Phil did, and I remember one night at training them all. We were having a few sprints, and those of us in the back said one thing we could win at. Anyway, they were goading. Well, oh, Phil Blake was faster than you lot. So Phil and I had a sprint down the pitch, and you know I probably beat him by about 20 meters. And he shut up after that. He was quick, but he got to one pace and then he stayed at it. And I ran a lot, and so I was able to put him behind me. But I think when you see a large man running pretty quickly, it looks a lot like a smaller man running very quickly. Mm. You know, when you see a guy like that, I wouldn't have fancied a head-on against him. I can tell you now, he's a formidable character.
What opponent made the greatest impression on you? I'm thinking it might well have been wing forward in your position.
Yes, with or without the ball, you mean. I think some of the centres that have played there's been some fine centres around in that era. Paul Dodge, for example, and one or two others who played. Flankers, Rafter, uncompromising character, I think a number of others who made the grade actually were also able to they linger in the memory when you see some of them in action. It's so different because I watch rugby now and it's complete. My comparisons are unfair between now and then. Just the rules are different, but the whole technique is different. So now I can think of heroes who play this modern game. I'm not sure how they'd have got on in the amateur era. It's difficult to draw a comparison there of you know, who I admired most. But certainly the toughest player. I mean, Gloucester had a whole string of tough, unbelievable toughness. Avoid injury. How some of these men avoided injury. John Haynes, how they avoided injury. I'll never know. And Mick Potter. And
I was just going to mention Mike Potter. Yeah. I thought he was such an underrated player. A marvellous player.
Yeah.
Never got the recognition he deserved, I think.
Behind the scenes workhorse. They never get recognition. If you've got blonde hair and you're a flanker, you get recognition. It was Jean-Paul Reeve and who as well, you know, got because they're seen, aren't they? They're seen, and you know John Watkins was seen. You know his that hair was everywhere. You know, and you get noticed like that. And if you're a flash winger as well, you get noticed. Get a bit of space. That's the important thing.
John Fiddler was around at that time as well.
Yeah, big, large, tough player. Played John Price slightly. Can't remember some of the games. Definitely, yes, he was playing in. There were two or three locks. I think Steve Boyle was pushing to get into the first team then. Alan Brin, gentleman, Alan. Phil Winnell and Jackson.
Nigel Jackson.
I'm not going to be able to name all the locks there, but there were some tough players.
Gordon Sargent.
Yeah, Gordon Sargent. Yeah, he was playing then. Yeah, the late Gordon. Mm. He was somebody we would call an outsider or because he lived in the Forest, and him and Robin Cowling, who travelled from another country, Robin drove up from his Devon farm. To train twice a week, play twice a week, and he would travel. So I suppose those two travelled the furthest. Most players, not all, but most players were within the city. I wouldn't say that was all, and they could all walk there. My home was on the edge of the city, it'd be a long walk, you know, but it was in Gloucester. But a lot of the other players were from Gloucester, a lot. Totally unlike now, but probably 80% were from Gloucester, and I think if you drove from Devon, you were seen as quite impressive to do that, to attend all those attend all those games and training sessions, and he was very reliable for those. Day's work on the farm, you know, and come up and train. Wow, that was something.
Mm. Mm. I guess the scrum half in your sort of second period at Gloucester was Pete Kingston, was it?
No, he... Mm. I think he came just after. I think he... I don't think we played in the same era. My memory's not doing too well here about naming the teams. You'll have the record somewhere. But I think
well, there's the honours board's list from those.
In the John Player Cup game, it was Wayne Birchley, of course, but he was not a real regular.
He wasn't a regular. I'm just wondering who the regular scrum halves were. Actually, then I can't remember, to be quite honest, who was regularly playing there then. That doesn't stick. I'm certainly think Peter Kingston would have been coming along, probably just maybe the season after I'd left. He maybe took his got his place more regularly then. So I can't honestly remember. Do your records show who the scrum half? Well,
my records elsewhere, but not written down here.
I can't.
I've got a mental blank. I can't think who the regular scrum half was.
That's the honours board for the
who
two.
Who played most games at scrum half in that season, 76-77?
I think Peter Kingston was around, but he may have been playing representative rugby by then, so he may not have been, you know, always available.
Peter anyway. Was a teacher, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So he might well have had Saturday duties, actually, which is a problem for PE teachers certainly in independent schools as well. So I mean, I'm not sure about that. But he was playing a good standard then, and I can't remember who the main scrum halves were, unfortunately.
When we had our first event for Gloucester Rugby Heritage about 10 years ago, we invited a lot of former players to come along, and about 100 did, which was a great reunion for them. But we thought, because we wanted to make contacts by then, so we persuaded several of our wives to stand by the door with sheets that as people came in they would
get some information,
record what their telephone numbers and addresses and so on were. And Peter Kingston turned up, and my wife had taught with him at Pate's Grammar, and she found herself in front of him and said, "Oh, what are you doing here, Pete?" My wife had no idea that he played rugby even, never mind.
That's fine.
And of course, the response was, "Well, I know why I'm here. Why are you here?"
That's anyway. That's an interesting way to manage a rugby widow's wife, isn't it, really?